Hello, and welcome to Stoner Chicks Podcast, the podcast for stoners by stoner chicks. I'm Grace Penzel.
I'm Kayla Teal.
I'm Stephanie Thompson.
And I'm Phoebe Richards.
Welcome, welcome to our crazy old podcast here. We're just, you know, going a little nuts, little squirrels. Springtime sprungin'. And I don't know, up here, there's like cherry blossoms and shit. And it's been nice going out and getting a walk.
It also snowed last night. So it's all the things here.
It's been a fun Pacific Northwest time up here.
Yes.
But I just wanted off the top to get a little Patreon thank yous. Patreon.com/stonerchicks has a bunch of stuff. If you're enjoying the podcast that you're listening to now and you're like, once a week is not enough, we have large barge of extra content over on Patreon. And one of the things that you get is if you join up, you get a little thank you. So first up is James A.
Hey,
James.
This is a good friend of mine all the way down in Santa Fe. So thank you, James.
Oh,
welcome
James
to the club.
And another big thank you to Seamus for signing up on our Patreon.
Thank you, Seamus.
Welcome to you, Seamus.
I hope you liked that accent.
Yeah, I hope that made your day better and not worse.
Or it's the thing where Seamus is like, every time.
I subscribe to another American podcast. It's a mistake.
Is Seamus from Ireland?
I have no idea.
I have no idea.
Oh, okay. We've made a lot of assumptions about you, Seamus. So,
so we like to do out here at Stoner Chicks Podcast is decide your entire personality based on the name we see on your Patreon.
Yeah. But thank you. And yeah, we've got a bunch of bonus episodes. We have a once a month Zoom smoke sesh. Did you already say this, Stephanie?
I didn't get into specifics.
A Zoom smoke sesh. You can have access to our smoke breaks on there and lots more. Check it out. It really helps keep our podcast going.
Truly. We one time recorded a watch along to 9 to 5 years ago. Remember that? You can watch that.
I think I fell asleep during it.
Oh, me too.
Good content. And speaking of good content, 420 is coming up. And on 418, 420's Eve, we have a live show at the Hereafter Theater in Seattle.
All
Follow
four of
together,
us
together performing improv comedy.
We're flying Kayla up on a private Stoner Chicks jet.
Yep, risking no maggots, my life. No doors will fly off.
Nope, everything's going to go smoothly. And then the following night, speaking of smoothly, we have another show on twitch.tv/stonerchicks for 419, All Hallows Weed.
And that is twitch.tv/stonerchickspodcast.
Thank
and
you.
That will, and so we're going to have all of our regular 420s Eve traditions happening over there. You can check out our YouTube channel to brush up on that lore if you really want to go down that rabbit hole.
We have a lot of traditions.
Show up. It's free. It's fun. twitch.tv/stonerchickspodcast. That's going to be at 7 p.m. Pacific on 419.
That's right.
I am so excited. We have a very special guest today. Emma Erdbrink is the producer of Doughboys, High and Mighty, and Good Christian Fun. I am a huge fan of Emma's podcasting work. She is also a dog mother like myself and a bread enthusiast. Thanks for coming on the podcast, Emma Erdbrink.
Woo!
Thank you guys for having me. I'm so happy to be here.
Oh, man. We started this podcast because Phoebe had the idea, but Phoebe and I were really podcast enthusiasts.
Hell yeah.
So we're coming from that place in addition to being stoner chicks. And when I first heard, after kind of having you, in addition to like a trustworthy producer, an incredible audience surrogate sort of on Doughboys, that when I realized you also partook in cannabis, I got very excited to talk to you.
On my shirt today, I literally bought this shirt because it's my favorite. It's like so Doughboys, but it's also my favorite cannabis. So
for listeners out there, it looks like a certain soft drink logo, and it says "Enjoy cannabis. Cannabis. Yeah.
One of my faves.
Yeah, we won't say their name because they're not paying us.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, that's right.
We're holding out for that big soda money.
Yeah. Fuck Big Cola.
Well, to get us started, Emma, I'd love to get to know you a little bit. So I'm going to ask you some getting to know you questions. First, I would just love to know, what was your very first time smoking cannabis like?
It was a good time. It was actually my little sister got me stoned for the first time. Oh. So we were a little backwards there. I was a senior in high school and it was like the end of my senior year. She was a junior. She's only a year behind me. And I was going to college the next year and I was like, I should probably just like try getting stoned before I go to college so that like I know what I'm in for if I'm offered it or whatever. So my sister was like, fuck yeah, finally, I've been waiting for this day my entire life. Stop narking on me. Let's go. I never narked. But she was the troublesome one and I was the beautiful little goody two shoes.
Yeah.
But my parents were away for the night and we had a play. We were both in theater and a bunch of people from the play like came back to my parents' house. Sorry, mom and dad, if you're listening. And we all got stoned in the backyard. We didn't smoke in the house. And it was a great time. I don't remember feeling like super stoned and being like, ooh, there's that feeling everybody talks about. But my sister said I sat on the edge of the counter and just held my face like this. And I just like sat there like that for like 2 hours. So I was definitely feeling something.
Yeah,
I love that.
All right, Mr. and Mrs. Erdbrink. Nothing.
Nothing to worry about. It was all in the backyard.
It was all in the backyard. They know I smoke weed now and they don't seem to mind much. So it's not a big deal. Then I would have been in huge trouble.
Oh, yeah. Okay, what would you say is your favorite time of day to smoke weed?
All of them.
No. Okay. That's a common answer here. On the podcast.
I mean, I love a good wake and bake day, but this is not always the feasible decision to make.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah. I agree. Anytime. What is your favorite stoner movie?
Oh, that's a really good question. I'm more of a TV person, I think, when I'm stoned because of my attention span and the lack thereof. I love, like, I have, like, my favorite, your comfort shows, like The Office or It's Always Sunny is one of my faves. Yes. My boyfriend and I have been watching a lot of this show that's on Amazon, I think, called The Building Off the Grid, where people just build off-grid houses. And it's so fun and so unnecessarily dramatic and over-edited. And some of them are great. And some of them I'm like, I fucking hate this bitch. I can't listen to it. I'm like, skip. But there's like 13 seasons of it. So that's been our like background show a lot. I just booked your whole weekend.
Yeah. You're speaking excited. Stephanie's language.
Look, I want to move to the woods someday. So.
Stephanie's planning her off-grid life.
I'm trying to find
my
off-the-grid stoner intentional community people. So I'll be hitting up your DMs.
Hell yeah, I love it. Look, if I hadn't chosen a career that requires me to be in Los Angeles, I'd probably already be in the woods. Yeah.
Okay, love it. Well, then last but not least, because this is possibly the most important question you will answer today.
Hell yeah.
What is your go-to stoner snack?
Oh, this is hard. Bread. No, all of them. Look, if there's fresh bread in the house, that's absolutely it. Mm-hmm. For sure. But something like a 7-Eleven type of snack, I love anything cheesy, like a Dorito, a Cheeto. My disgusting guilty pleasure is chili cheese Fritos, which I used to think sounded disgusting, but I love them.
Okay.
Yeah. One of my favorite, like, things I've been doing lately, I've been super into playing Zelda Tears of the Kingdom. I don't know if you guys are gamer people, but huge game. I've probably put 200 hours into it and I'm like never gonna finish.
Nice.
I love it. It's very zen to me. It's a beautiful world. And we don't have a TV. We have a projector. So we have this like big projector screen that rolls down. So it feels super immersive.
So which that is even better. Eating cheese and playing that game. Okay, I'm sorry. I said that was my last one, but that question makes me have to ask, when it comes to a Cheeto, do you like the puffs or the crunchy?
That's a great question. I like the white cheddar puffs, the like they say that, I think I always think they're natural. They're not. They're like simple. There's absolutely nothing natural about it.
They born from the earth. But.
They absolutely use their packaging to make it look like it's an, a natural,
they're
organic.
Like simple or something. Yeah. And you're like, oh yeah, this is healthy.
These Cheetos come in a burlap sack. So clearly.
They're stale already. Enjoy. Yeah. But that's definitely a favorite. I am also like if I'm playing video games, I use chopsticks to eat my snacks so that I don't gum up my controller and like get all greasy and stuff. So it kind of depends. Certain snacks aren't so easy to pick up with a chopstick. So I might pass it.
Yeah, the puffs would be easier with a chopstick than the crunchy.
Or like trying to eat like chocolate covered almonds with chopsticks. That sounds almost impossible.
No. Yeah, that sounds more frustrating than enjoyable.
Yeah. Okay, sorry. Yeah. But okay, so I have a couple of questions.
Sure.
Maybe a little more business up top and then a little party on the back end.
Exactly.
It's the mullet of podcasting.
Honestly, that's so sexy. Bring on.
But something that I've been curious about, because now that we have a lovely editor, but other than that, we kind of run this whole show ourselves. And something that I've been very interested in is, how did you get, what drew you to the production side of podcasts, and how did you wind up producing podcasts for a network that where you're bumping up against some big name comedians kind of frequently?
Yeah, I stumbled entirely into this path. So I went to school for, I went to Emerson College in Boston, and my degree is technically in, it's so long and such a mouthful and so convoluted, but it's technically film production with a specialization in sound design for film and TV. Sorry, sound design and post-production audio for, it's too long. It's too much, but it's sound for TV and film was technically what I went to school for. I ended up there because I wanted to, I was a singer in high school and I wanted to do performance. And my dad aptly was like, how about we don't pay for a performance degree and we get a technical degree instead. And you can do performance on the side if you want. And they'll like kind of compliment each other. I dropped performing almost immediately. He was absolutely correct.
Good job, Dad.
And his predictions. Thank you, Dad. But I ended up at Emerson where I thought I was going to learn music production. And it's a film school. I did zero research. I was completely unprepared. But I loved it. And I had a great time. I met some really wonderful people there. And then I moved out to LA just because like that's what everybody was doing. It was LA or New York. I chose LA because fuck winter. Mm-hmm. Sorry to you guys up north. You just probably cold up there.
We don't have the New York winters, that's for sure.
That's true. Yeah. And I grew up in New Hampshire, so that shit's brutal.
Brutal.
Yeah. So I was like, Los Angeles, sunshine, let's go. So I ended up out here, and a friend of mine that I went to college with was an intern at Marketplace. It's a NPR APM show with Kai Rizdahl.
Kai Rizdahl.
Like a Marketplace show.
Yeah. Yeah. It's my least favorite of the NPR pro. Not that, but Kai sounds like a great guy.
Kai's a nice guy. I haven't worked for them in a few years, so no shame. They also, a friend of mine, like introduced me to them, was like, they're looking for some engineers and there's no ladies on the team. So it'd be nice to have some ladies in the house. And I was like, hook it up.
Yeah.
And I did like a test mix for them and they hired me, and they didn't know when they hired me that that was my first job out of college. They told me after. If they knew that, they probably wouldn't have, but snuck right on in there.
Yes.
Nice.
So that was fun. So I ended up working there. And then I just like, was driving Lyft on the side, and I met a dude in a Lyft one day who was like new to LA and also an audio engineer. And he was like, let's get coffee and like talk about applying for jobs. So we got coffee. He got offered this job at what is now a defunct company named Feral Audio, and he couldn't take it. And he was like, do you want me to toss your name at them? And I was like, sure. And that's where I met the Doughboys, because they were on Feral Audio. And then when that whole network kind of fell and crumbled, that's a whole other story for a whole different podcast. But when they jumped ship, and I jumped with them, and it was supposed to be temporary, and I just never left.
There you
so
go.
I've just been following them around.
Well, that's awesome. It sounds like it's led you to other opportunities.
Yeah, definitely.
I have to admit, and I'm scared to admit this because
never like, scared.
Okay. Well, I want to say you agreed to come record this podcast for us knowing that I'm a Doughboys fan. So you had to understand, okay. Right?
If I meet lady Doughboys fans, I'm like, you're so rare and precious to me.
Okay, cool. Good to know.
I was looking at our analytics on YouTube the other day and it's like 88% dudes. And I was this tracks. Wow. Yeah, it's a lot of, I mean, I'm not surprised.
Yeah, that's like the opposite of ours.
And my boyfriend does listen to Doughboys and has seen you guys live. And I definitely have by osmosis, like eaten food because of your podcast.
And I'm going to apologize to you for the month of March. It's a lot of Taco Bell.
My favorite thing that I was introduced to because of Doughboys was Dave's Hot Chicken.
Oh, so good.
I love Dave's Hot Chicken.
And they're like national now. They have them in New Hampshire now, which they did not. When I think I first heard of it. It was only out here. And now like my friends and family at home are like, there's a Dave's Hot Chicken in Manchester. Ooh. Have you had it? And I'm like, I've had it. It's so good. It's delicious.
Well, that's so interesting. And it really, it's cool that the way that you got in was a woman kind of being like, hey, we need to get other ladies in here.
Yeah. It's fun that way.
Yeah, exactly. That's what we've been finding. I feel like every other female podcaster, I'm like, I just want to talk to you. So one thing that I wanted to know is we have a segment that we do called Things I Saw While I Was High.
Hell yeah.
Things I Saw While I Was High.
Look at that.
I wanted to know what is something that comes to mind. It doesn't have to be the top thing, but what's a standout thing you saw while you were high because of your role as the podcaster of these kind of podcasts?
Oh man, I mean, pretty much anything I do with Gabrus in person, we're stoned as fuck for, which is a really good time. And anytime he comes on the road with us, we get super stoned, which makes it hard to remember things.
It's all a blur.
It's all a blur. It's funny because this is such a weird thing that I like said this a couple weeks ago and I was like, I sound like an insane person saying this or an addict. But like I, for the new year, was like, I'm not going to smoke weed on the days that we're in studio before I go to the studio. Like I have to like go do my work and come home before I'm allowed to smoke weed on those days. Other days I wake up, make my coffee and like, have smoked a little weed before I start working. So yeah. I was like, this is my thing. So, and it's been great in a way. I'm like, oh, my days just feel different. I'm a different person this way, which is, you know,
that's what
it is.
I was wondering, have you ever had a strain that tanked your productivity? Or do you find that there are aspects to your job that are made more difficult or easier because of cannabis?
Totally. There's certain, so you guys, like you said, you run your whole podcast yourself. So you're aware of like all the emails, the scheduling. I would say scheduling is the hardest part of podcasting. It's not talking for an hour. It's fucking calendars.
Yeah.
Can I curse on this? I didn't
know. Yes. Yeah. Curse away. Oh,
fuck yeah. Double check.
Oh, yeah.
Fuck yeah. It's like so ingrained in my body. I like, can't get rid of it. But what was I saying? Oh yeah. Scheduling.
Yeah. It's calendars.
Calendars is the hardest part. When I am doing what I call calendar math, like figuring out what the schedule looks like, what the release calendar looks like, what our record schedule looks like, is there enough time between eps for post-production, especially now that Doughboys has video, we have a video editor who is my boyfriend and we live in the same house, but it adds a whole other layer of work and time. So like, I'm not just like keeping track of my schedule, it's his schedule and like everything's so turn and burn. So when I'm doing stuff like that, being stoned can be really detrimental because I'm like, wait, how many Tuesdays are there in March? How many were you counting? And I'm like, okay, wait, then how many Thursdays are there in March? Okay. And that, so that's not helpful. But then if I'm mixing, like I have Pro Tools open and my goal, which is what I'm doing most of today, but I was doing it before I hopped on with you guys, is what I'll do well into the night tonight, I'm sure. If I'm mixing, I'll put open Pro Tools and I'll smoke some weed and get going. Cause I think sometimes it kind of sets me into my routine and it kind of puts me into my mix and I like can't be pulled away from it. And it kind of triggers that roll, gets me on a roll. Or there are definitely days that it does the opposite.
Sure.
I'm sure it depends on the terpene profile of whatever you smoke. We've been studying terpenes on the podcast.
Yeah.
And there's a particular cannabis scientist we love, Cannabichem, and she says that the terpenylene specifically helps her with zoning in and like getting shit done, like things that you need to focus on.
Is terpenylene only in certain types of weed?
Yeah.
I gotta find me some of that.
Everyone's different too.
Dominant.
Yeah, I mean, I do. I don't know if you guys aren't in LA, so I don't know if you have this there, but they have a service here called Nug Club where they deliver like a box once a month with a bunch of different weeds in it, and you can kind of set your preferences.
No, so that sounds cool.
They love
it's fun. Yeah, it's. I highly recommend it. They're pretty easy to deal with. They're like very chill. The drivers that like show up are super chill. So it's been a fun experiment, but they just like bring different weeds every month. So I've had zero consistency in what I'm smoking. So it's hard to nail down like what it is. And we have a jar on our coffee table that whenever we have a weed that gets low, we just like dump what's left into the jar. So we call it the Nug Salad Jar. So it's just like, who knows what you're going to get. But I know that I like sativas in the morning and hybrids at night, and indicas are for very special occasions.
Mm-hmm. Sure, sure.
They're a little too much, too into couch for me, but sometimes that's what I need.
Do you have like if you had an ideal audio mixing strain, does one spring to mind at all? Or is it kind of just whatever comes to you?
There was one, I'm trying to remember the name of it. There was a strain I was getting from a dispensary when I was living in Maine. I think it was called like Clementine. And I loved that for working because it was like very like light and floaty kind of stone. Like I felt very just like content in my body, but also aware and like here. And like, I was just like, yeah, this is great. I'm so down to do this. Like I could do anything on that strain. And that was a good. I literally bought a bunch of it for our road trip because I was like, this is like, I could stare out the window of a car for 6 hours with this in my brain and I'm fine.
That's amazing. Well, you heard it, audiophiles. Go and find some Clementine. We're a big fan. We're a big fan of orange and tangy type strains. I'm actually smoking some Orange Crush today, speaking
there
of
you
which.
Go. Oh,
and we,
there you go.
There's a strain we love in Washington called Orange Blossom. And the woman that grew it told us that she hears from women that they love that strain, and she doesn't really hear it from men very much, so there could be something with orange weed.
This is curious, like ladies react differently to the weed than men do, or we seek different things than our male counterparts do in our high.
Speaking of gender, because it does come up on the podcast, and we have something called Stoner Movie Book Club where actually it's funny, I was listening to the Doughboys Double and Jen D'Angelo ranting about 80 for Brady. We love 80 for Brady.
Okay, I haven't seen it. I know it's controversial over there that I haven't seen it yet, but look, apparently we're going to do it.
Apparently we're going to do it.
I mean, it's a silly movie.
Okay, love. So okay, maybe not love. Maybe
I think you can love something. I mean, like, I can see why I guess some people wouldn't like it, but we found it incredibly charming and friendship affirming.
Right.
That's wonderful. And I love like Lily Tomlin. I think anything she does, I'm like here for it. So I should watch it. I have, being from New England, I think, and my family being like football people, I think all the Tom Brady stuff, I'm like, this is so annoying.
Yeah. That's the thing we didn't think about it.
Yeah. We didn't like Tom Brady.
Like people were so in love with him. I was like, God, this like idolization of people is like creepy at that level. I was like, get out of my face. I don't want to hear this. So, and I worked at a sports bar in college while he was on the Patriots. Yeah, so it was I was dealing with some of the worst bros in the world.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Truly.
Speaking of dealing with some of the worst bros in the world, the last question that I wanted to ask before we get into a break is, what is it like being a woman in the audio mixing industry? Like, there are so many dude podcasters, and I can only imagine that men are overrepresented in podcast production as well. What has that been like, but also like, what does the female podcaster producer community look like too?
I'll say the female producer community is very supportive. I've had literally no issues with any of my fellow female podcast producers. I met a podcast producer when I first started working for HeadGum, Mars, super producer Mars, Marissa Melnick, and she is like, we don't work together anymore on anything, but we still like keep in touch. We caught up a few months ago, and like, she's incredible. All of her work is, I like adore her. She gave me templates when I first started working on High and Mighty. And like, I love her. She's great. And all of the other producers I've worked with at HeadGum have been fantastic. It is a very male, I think audio in general is very male dominating either way. In college, in my program, I think I was one of four ladies in my year that was in the program entirely. And then there was like 30 or 40 dudes.
Wow.
So it's definitely been a, I'm usually the only lady in the room. That's a very common experience that I have. My mom is an engineer and runs an engineering company mm-hmm. that deals with liquefying natural gas, completely different than what I do, but also a very male-dominated industry.
Yeah.
So
whoa.
I watched her kick some ass my entire life being the only lady in the room a lot of the time. So I was like, I can fucking do that. So it doesn't bother me, but it is a thing that's very real. When I first started working, I won't name names, but I had some experiences early on where I found out I was being paid less than my male counterparts at certain companies. No reason why other than I could see other than the fact that they were a male or friends with whoever. And when I asked that to be evened out, I was told there was a hiring freeze and I was like, cool, but I'm already hired. So
yeah,
you don't want to freeze on that, but they wouldn't even that out. So that job ended fairly quickly. And then actually when I was at Marketplace, I had some issues with certain reporters that didn't want me to mix their stuff when I was new to the team. And my boss there, Jeff, was awesome. And I adored him. And he was very much a champion. He was like, nope, Emma will take care of it and it will be fine. And it was fine. And that reporter that caused issues actually came back to me after and apologized. So,
well, that's good.
All well and good. But there's some first impression stuff, I think, especially with older generation people that it's like, oh, there's a lady running the studio today. This is not what I'm used to seeing. And they just don't trust it for whatever reason. But I know what I'm doing, so I'm not worried about that.
Absolutely. Well, on that high note and that energy, I'm ready to take a smoke break. Should we take a smoke break?
Let's get high.
Oh, yeah, let's get high.
Yeah. Okay.
Hey, stoners. Next week for Stoner Movie Book Club, we're going to be watching the 2023 film Quiz Lady, starring Awkwafina and Sandra Oh, and directed by Jessica Yu. It's on Hulu, and we had a ton of fun talking about this film, so come on, join us. Welcome back from your smoke break, stoners. We're here with Emma Erdbrink, producer of Doughboys, Good Christian Fun, and High and Mighty podcast. Thanks for being here. We toked up a little on our smoke break.
We did. My favorite. I love it. A little afternoon toke.
Yeah, yeah. I figured that was a perfect time to include you in a segment that we do here on Stoner Chicks podcast called High Thoughts with Stephanie.
That's right. It's a high thought with a guest, Emma. So we're so excited to have you. And this high thought comes all the way from Lane. I wonder if Lane's in Maine. Oh. Anyway.
Oh, that'd be fun.
Jumping right into it.
Baja, but...
yeah.
That's a little callback to our Patreon smoke break. Anyway, jumping right into it because I'm excited for this one. We are living in the era of weed in our country. Weed will probably be a chapter in the history books about this period of time. Weed will be included in the things buried in time capsules opened by our great-great-grandchildren. One day we're going to be old, and I bet many of us will include beloved glassware in our wills, which means that a few generations from now, our bongs will be showcased on Antiques Roadshow.
What?
Cool. I love that.
I think that's beautiful. Smoke your weed today so your grandchildren can smoke their weed tomorrow.
Wow.
Wow.
Bravo, Lane.
Thank That's you, good. Lane. That's great. Yeah, powerful.
I will say this might not be what anyone wants to hear, but I'm impressed with the faith that we will all still be going on that far into the future.
Oh, man, I had the same thought.
I mean, yeah, keep the hope alive. I know. I was like, my grandchildren, hope, on what planet?
Oh my God.
It's going to be more like the Terminator. Yeah. The robots are digging up our, like,
pulling out bongs and just smashing them.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Trying to use them and just smashing them.
Desecrating the mausoleum of your ancestors.
I much prefer the thought of the future generations going, this is Aunt Fanny's bong on the new Antiques Roadshow.
Right.
She bought it from the glass.
This is a bong called Wanda. Belonged to Stephanie Tom.
It was glass made by, so-and-so in 2022.
Will that be our generation's like china cabinet? Like we won't have fine china dishes that we pull out every once in a while. We have a cabinet full of like the nice bongs that we pull out only when guests come over.
My dad has one of those like fancy with a light in it, and it's like all of like my grandma's dishes, you know, very like old fashioned. No one really does that anymore, but it's so cool.
Classic.
No one has the space. Yeah. No one has the room. No, no one has a home.
But
we rent it.
But I mean, the idea of that, now I'm sort of like, I need to make sure I get that piece of furniture because I should display my bongs in it when I'm at
home. Yes.
It's funny. In COVID, my partner and I, my boyfriend and I left LA because we just hated it here. And we had, our apartment had nowhere outside to be. So we were very stuck inside. And so we were like, my parents have a house in Maine near the ocean. They were like, you're welcome to stay there. And I was like, bye, LA. Mm-hmm. I'm going to Maine.
Good choice.
So we packed up our car and left. We were like, we'll go for like a month, see what's up, and then like we'll come back and we'll see, hopefully things will be figured out by then. Jokes on us. We ended up staying for like 9 months or something like that, so we ended up giving up our apartment, putting our stuff in storage, and we lived like nomads for 3 years.
Whoa.
So we had like, we were very joint dependent people because we had like no pieces with us. I'm not gonna carry my bong around in my car.
Right.
It's not in certain states anyway. Mm-hmm. It's not a good idea. So we recently moved back to LA, and by recently I mean October. But it was so, like, one of the things I was most excited for was to buy a bong again and, like, get a new piece. And I bought this bong that looks like a vase. Like, it's a glass with gold on it. And it looks like an alcohol thing you'd have on, like, a bar. It has a
like
top
a decanter.
You can put it in, so you can kind of, yeah. So it's, like, you kind of disguise it when you don't want it to look like a bong. You just turn it around and put the top in it. And it's like, oh, it's just like a little decanter over here.
Yeah. We interviewed this maker, Birdmouse Glass, that just sources antique vases and turns them into bongs. And she wound up making one for Stephanie. Mm-hmm. So Steph has something that looks very nice in that
I still haven't smoked out of
Bird
it.
Mouse.
You still haven't? You're too afraid.
What? I totally get it.
I don't want to muck it up.
But
muck it. Yeah.
You don't want to be the Terminator just breaking it.
Yeah. I am pretty anal about cleaning my pieces. Yeah, like I could, I get by, and actually I broke the stem to my bong this weekend cleaning it, so I am stemless at the moment, so it's super clean right now because I haven't been able to use it. Yeah. The replacement's on its way. I like ordered the replacement before I picked up the broken glass in my sink.
I love that.
Oh my gosh, that's great. This is a producer's mind, everybody. Yes, we're getting that replacement down stem right away.
You're not gonna forget to clean up the broken glass because it's right
and
in
I think
front
I ordered
you.
Two of them because I was like, you know what?
You know what, just in case.
Let's just give ourselves a backup.
I love that. Well, thank you so much for that high thought, Lane, and thanks for helping us talk about it, Emma. I wanted to ask you, you've met a lot of famos, right?
Like,
I mean, it happens to be true.
It's true.
If you feel at liberty, was there anyone that you were, because you're the producer, right? You're talking to them. Is there anyone that you have felt particularly excited to get to meet, or anyone who like especially made you pee your pants laughing or something or something like that, you know, who kind of stands out to you?
Lovie said at liberty, like who do you love? But you don't have to.
I know. Yeah. If you're comfortable.
I won't tell you who I didn't love, but I will I loved working with Bill Burr. That was a fun. When I worked for All Things Comedy, I was stoked to meet him, and he is like a very genuine, kind person. He like remembered my name immediately and like,
wow,
just a very real dude. And I very much enjoyed working with him. A lot of the people over there were fantastic. And honestly, I was a fan of College Humor when I was younger.
Oh, word.
So working with Jake and Amir has been very fun.
Oh.
So that's, I mean, always a good time. I'm trying to think of fun people that I've met. I smoked a joint with Joe Rogan once.
Oh, hell yeah.
That was an interesting experience.
That's wild.
I know he's a controversial figure, but he's a really nice guy. It was right after I used to work with this comedian named Brody Stevens, who unfortunately took his own life a few years ago. And so right after that happened, because I was working with him at the time that happened, so it was a weird time, and he was a big fixture at the Comedy Store, so I was going there to a lot just to like be around other people who knew Brody, and just like because everybody was real sad and really upset about it. And I was there one night, and there's at the Comedy Store out back, they have like a patio for the comedians where they like go to smoke their cigarettes and whatever, hang out. There's some like couches and stuff back there. I was sitting back there with a fellow friend and comedian, Eric Galigny, who is very close with Brody. And we were just like sitting there and like chatting about Brody. There's no one else out there. And Joe Rogan had a set, I think. And he came out after and he was like, "Are you guys talking about Brody?" And we were like, "Yeah." And he was like, "Can I smoke this joint?" And we were like, "Yeah." And so we ended up just like smoking a joint, talking about our recently deceased friend. And it was like super wholesome and a really wonderful experience. Outside of that, I don't know what Joe Rogan's like. That was like my only experience with him, but it was a very, sweet. And I was like, one of those moments that afterwards I was like, that was, I just like smoked a joint with Joe Rogan. I like, what a weird world.
Yeah,
like, what a weird cool. World.
I'm sorry. Yeah. I fully thought you said Seth Rogan.
Oh,
now I'm caught up.
That would be also so cool.
Now I'm caught up. Okay, cool.
You know, the controversial figure, Seth Rogen.
I know. I was like, well, he has controversial friends, but gotcha.
Everyone's controversial. It's 2024. Yeah. Come on.
Right, exactly. And then working on High and Mighty.
A good time.
With Gabrus, who has a TV show, The 100 Best Places to Party in the United...
101 Places to Party Before You Die.
There you go. Thank you.
On HBO Max.
Thank you for correcting me on that.
I guess it's just Max now.
But cannabis is kind of part of Gabrus's brand, and the podcast is called High and Mighty. What kinds of things have you bumped up against in the cannabis world because of working on that podcast?
I mean, Gabrus is connected to some very cool people because of his cannabis love and his just like boisterous personality. I love working with him. He is such a great, he attracts such cool people. He has a friend, David Bienenstock, who he's
very into.
So I didn't know about, I didn't know of him at all before working on High and Mighty. And I was like, he's a great, like just fun. I like enjoy listening to him just talk about stuff.
Oh, we
like,
do too.
So specifically and like, yeah, I just, and then also, I don't know if you guys know the podcast that recently ended, We Didn't Grow Up with Mary Jane and Mike Glazer.
Oh, sure.
That show is, I love them. I can't remember if I met them through Gabrus or not, or just like in the pod world, but like they're both wonderful people. And Mary, I like have learned so much from reading like Mary Jane stuff because she's very like, I just like her research into the cannabis industry and stuff is very important. I think there's a lot, I love smoking weed and I'm not so great at like the ethics of the whole industry, and there's some shady ethics out there, so I appreciate people like Mary Jane who are like, hey, let me like help you learn some stuff. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And the people like David Bienenstock who get the word out there about that kind of thing.
Yeah.
He's actually the only man that's ever been on Stoner Chick's podcast.
Yeah.
He's a stoner chick. That doesn't surprise me at all. But yeah, Gabrus is a hoot to work with. Actually, when I first started working on High and Mighty, he told me to get stoned to mix. He was like, before you listen to the episodes, you should probably smoke weed first. And I was like, not noted.
Okay.
Done and done.
My arm. Yep.
Yeah.
I already was going to, but it's nice to have permission.
Right, exactly. Thank you, project supervisor.
Yeah.
Or actually, how does that work? Are you the project supervisor for the podcasters, or is it a collaboration more?
Every show is very different. Doughboys is very more of a hands-on collaborative environment. It feels weird calling Nick and Mitch my bosses, even though they are, although they say I'm their boss, which I think is probably pretty accurate. But that's more of a collaborative, like I feel more appropriate calling them like my colleagues than my boss. It feels like, I don't know, I feel like we've worked together for too long to like care about the like power structure of everything. Mm-hmm. But it's their, at the end of the day, whatever show I work on, it's their show, it's not mine. I'm here to facilitate your thing.
Oh,
so
sure.
What you say goes. Like, if we build this together from the bottom up in a different way, then that's a different story. But for High and Mighty, Greg Christian Fund, Doughboys, and a lot of the shows I've worked on, I was not involved at the beginning of these shows. I came in here to help facilitate what you already had going. I'm not going to tell you how to run your house. The longer I'm around, the more I'll see things, and I might have better suggestions for how to run your house, but like, still your house. So that's, I mean, it's a good time.
Thank you so much for that explanation. And I want to be respectful of your time, but in the spirit of this being a food-loving podcast and you working on a food-loving podcast, I wanted to bring you a question actually from a listener of ours, Amanda, who asked the question. I guess there's a guy who goes around and has exactly one bite of a plain of a cheese pizza and like that.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. What, the one bite rule? Is that David Portnoy?
I don't know. I couldn't tell you. I'm sorry.
Ooh, people are gonna hate me if I just got that wrong, but I think that might be David Portnoy. One bite. One bite. Everybody knows the rule, one bite, right? That guy?
Yeah. You overestimate the hatred in the heart of our listeners. In any case, shout out to whoever that guy is. But my question is, what would be your one bite? Like, what if you were to go around and it might be something you already have picked up from your time eating fast food with Doughboys? What would be the thing that you had one bite of as a tent pole traveling around and reporting on?
One bite. I feel like I could do like fried chicken.
Ooh.
Or French fries would be fun. One fry.
Ooh, one fry.
One fry. You can get one a lot fry. From one fry.
I feel or like nuggets, one nug.
One nug.
Oh, that'd be fun. One nug.
And there's like one nug, pun, one
nug.
Yeah.
Oh, and you could be like matching nugs. So you smoke a nug and then you smoke one nug.
Smoke
and then
a nug.
You eat one nug.
Maybe you eat one nug, then you smoke one nug, and then you eat another nug and you see if they experience the difference.
Ooh.
Guys, I just found a new show.
Yeah, you should take that and run with it. Take it.
You should take it and run with it.
Oh, fuck yeah. Let's do it. One nug, one nug.
One nug, one nug. In any case, it has been so lovely having you on the podcast. Is there anything that you would like to plug or shout out?
Well, it's been lovely being here. Thank you for having me. But obviously, we talked a lot about the shows that I work on. Doughboys, High and Mighty, Good Christian Fun. They're all very different shows. Good Christian Fun is a very fun, very hilarious, topical pop. Ooh, my camera just fell over.
Oh my God.
Pop culture show.
I was curious about that one because I have some religious trauma. And so it would maybe be fun to listen to that.
It is great. Kevin and Caroline, Kevin Porter and Caroline Ely are fantastic. They're hilarious. They talk about the Christian pop culture made for or by Christians.
Ooh.
But they really talk about everything. They've had guests who like grew up religious and now are not, people who still maintain their faith, people who have escaped cults, like a lot of comedians. It's a very lighthearted, fun show that deals with something that can be very heavy, like religious trauma. So you actually might really enjoy it.
No, I'm going to check
it out. It might trigger your trauma, and I totally respect it. You listen to one episode, and you're like, nope.
I still kind of like to like watch it from afar. I'm like, what are they doing now? Okay. Ooh.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, it's a great show. And then High and Mighty, obviously, is just Gabrus ranting stoned about any topic he and his guests talk about. And Doughboys is all about fast food and dick jokes. So catch any of those if that's your speed. My beloved boyfriend, my partner, he just started a YouTube channel. It's very new, very young little baby channel that we're kind of, it's mostly him, but I'm watching from the sidelines and cheering, and I'm very proud of him. And it's very cool. It's at Baker Filmmaker on all social channels and on YouTube. And it's basically like food porn. It's like really pretty videos of bread and cookies and things being made. The recipes are all in the description if you want to make it, or you want to just like stare at something pretty for a few minutes. It's great while you're stoned. Literally, that's why I pushed him to start the channel. I was stoned watching him bake so often. And I was like, I would literally like watch this on this.
That's cool.
If this came through my scroll, I would be so stoked. So
that is the kind of support
in my feed.
That is the support we need in partnership.
You know what? And we love content that's just pretty for the sake of being pretty. And it's not out here to like push anything at you. Just like enjoy food and bread and cookies and things that look pretty.
After listening to a whole Doughboys Patreon episode where they ate a bunch of toast and they ate Emma's partner's sourdough. And I went and followed that account and it is hypnotizing. So go follow that.
Thank you.
The account is Baker Filmmaker, right?
Yes, it's at Baker Filmmaker on everything, TikTok, Instagram, and YouTube.
All right. Well, thank you, Emma.
Yeah, thanks, Emma.
Great
to meet you.
Great to meet you, too.
Well, stoners, you can do us a huge favor and rate, review us on Apple or Spotify. If you leave us a 5-star review, we might read it. We have a new one from Jessica, who said, the best vibe on the podcast dimension. Oh, excellent. Come laugh with these fabulous humans. Joyful resistance. Oh, I love that.
Wow. Joyful Thank resistance. So can we put that in our mission statement now?
Yeah, Jessica, you just affected our brand strategy. All right. And for more of us and to get tickets to our upcoming 420s Eve Eve show, you can go to stonerchickspodcast.com. You can also sign up for our email list there. You can buy merch like crazy hats and shirts.
Bongo naked.
Oh, yeah. We had a t-shirt that says Bongo Naked.
Hell yeah.
In honor
no one's bought it yet, so please do.
Wait, no one's bought that yet? I'd be all over
I
that.
I know. It's a nod to...
We'll send you a Bongo Naked shirt.
Yeah, that's what we'll do. and then... For more episodes and to see our awesome smoke break we just recorded with Emma, you can go to patreon.com/stonerchicks. All right.
Hell yeah.
Thanks for a great episode, Emma, for being here. And hey, Stephanie, what do like stoner chicks always say?
Keep your eyes peeled for nugs and nugs. Where Emma tries chicken nuggets after she has a little nug.
Yeah. Smoke your weed, Smoke everyone. Your weed.
Stoner Chicks podcast is hosted by me, Grace Penzel, Stephanie Thompson, Kayla Teal, and Phoebe Richards. The show is edited by German at Your Podcast Editor, and the theme music is composed by Jessica Damari. Email us your high thoughts at stonerchickspodcast@gmail.com or send us snail mail at P.O. Box 80586, Seattle, Washington 98108. Please follow us on social media at Stoner Chicks Podcast on Instagram or Broccoli Broads on